When nations war against each other, the sure evidence that someone has had a victory is that someone else surrenders unconditionally. Until there is an unconditional surrender, one of those nations is still a threat. An unconditional surrender means that they give up, they yield possession of, with no restrictions, no conditions. It is an unconditional surrender. As long as a nation has restrictions, as long as they have conditions to the surrender, there is still the possibility of the threat of a continuous war. When you and I trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as our personal Savior, that wasn't the end. That wasn't even His goal. His goal is that you and I would live unconditionally, surrendered to Him every day of our life. Usually when we think of an unconditional surrender, the first thing that we think about is, oh my goodness, God, what am I going to have to give up now? That is always the way Satan operates. He turns a wonderful opportunity into some negative attitude and cheats us out of a powerful blessing from God. An unconditional surrender to Jesus Christ is not a negative attitude. It is not something that you necessarily have to give up. It may be that you open the door to receive something you've wanted all along, to receive God's very, very best in your life. So before you decide that an unconditional surrender is going to threaten your security, maybe what you ought to do is just ask yourself the question, Lord, do you want to say something to me today? And I would just like to challenge you to listen, drop your guard, lay down all of your defenses, and then be willing to deal with any issue that God brings to mind. Now, He's going to bring something in most people's lives. When He does, watch out, because Satan's going to say, oh, I wouldn't pay any attention to that. That's not significant. Don't worry about it. Let's get on to something big. That's His way of cheating you out of God's very best. Of all the verses in the Bible that best describe and probably the best wording of an absolute, complete, unconditional surrender is found in 1 Kings chapter 20. And we're not going to take all of the chapter because I just want to major on one verse in this particular passage. But I want us to read the first four verses and hear two nations warring against each other. One of them is a combination, a whole group of kings and nations. Chapter 20 of 1 Kings in verse 1 says, Now Ben-Hadad, king of Aram, gathered all his army, and there were 32 kings with him, and horses and chariots. And he went up and besieged Samaria and fought against it. Then he sent messengers to the city to Ahab, king of Israel, and said to him, Thus says Ben-Hadad, Your silver and your gold are mine. Your most beautiful wives and children are also mine. And the king of Israel answered and said, It is according to your word, my king, O Lord, my king. I am yours and all that I have. Listen to that. It is according to your word, my Lord, O King. I am yours and all that I have. Have you ever said to Jesus Christ, According to thy word, O Lord, my King, all that I am and all that I have is yours. An unconditional surrender of your life to Jesus Christ means that you are willing to surrender control, to yield control, to lay down control of yourself and everything that relates to you and turn it all over to Jesus Christ. Have you ever done that? You see, many people who are saved say, well, you know, I did that when I was saved. Well, tell me about it. Well, you know, I trusted Jesus Christ as my personal Savior, and I just said, Lord, here am I. And yet somehow that same person has gone through life while they are partially surrendered to Him. That is, they have surrendered many things to Him, have oftentimes withheld just a little something over here for themselves. Unconditional surrender means there are no restrictions. There's withholding of nothing but absolute total yielding of everything to the control of Jesus Christ. And churches today are filled with people who are saved, but who are not surrendered. They are wondering why God does not use them more. They're wondering why God does not bless them more. They're wondering why the joy of the Christian life is not there. They're wondering when they try to serve the Lord, the power of the Holy Spirit is not upon them. The primary reason is they are not unconditionally surrendered. They are conditionally surrendered. Yes, I'm willing to give up. I'm willing to surrender. I'm willing to yield. What? All of this over here. But there are a few things in life that I don't really think are significant. I don't think really God really cares about this, and God doesn't care about that. It is those things that keep coming up when you begin to pray. And God says, what about this relationship? And what about these finances? And what about this person on your job? And what about this attitude? And what about... and on it goes. It could be one or many, many things. An unconditional surrender means that I'm willing to deal with anything and everything God brings to mind, and I'm willing to say yes to Him, and I do not attempt to barter or bargain or condition of God. Many people's prayers have a lot more barter in it than they realize. Now, God, I'm willing to do whatever you say do. Now, Lord, if you'll do this and so, here's what I'm willing to do. Lord, if you'll heal me, here's what I will do. If you won't let me lose my job, God, here's what I'll do. If you'll keep me from losing my house and my car, I promise you, beginning next Sunday, I'll start tithing. All of that is bartering with God. Conditional surrender. The truth is that because of who God is, He has the right and the privilege and the sovereign position to require of us the unconditional surrender of our life and all that we have to Him, whether He ever does anything or not. But somehow along the way, we've learned to bargain with Him and barter with Him and say, well, Lord, if you'll do this, I'll do thus and so. And if you'll do this, here's what I will do. That's not unconditional surrender. That is bargaining and negotiating with God. Listen, how does a saint who was once a sinner, lost in sin, condemned by their sin, bargain and negotiate the will of God? I have no right to negotiate the will of God. I have no right and no position to say, now, Lord, I'm willing to be obedient to you if you'll do thus and so. And yet all of us have done that at times and didn't even realize that's what we were doing. Let me ask you, what basis and what ground do we have for negotiation? We were lost. Absolutely condemned by our own sin. We're absolutely helpless to do anything for ourselves. And God in His grace reached down and forgave us of our sin, wrote our name in the Lamb's Book of Life, and is in us, living on the inside of us every day to sustain us and to take us home to heaven one of these days and to live through us His life every day. I have absolutely no grounds for negotiating with God about His will. And in this particular passage, two bad kings are talking with each other, but the one who has called you and me to unconditional surrender is God, our Creator, our Savior, our Lord, our Sustainer in life. And the one who always, with no exception, every single decision that God has ever made in your behalf and my behalf, He made for our good every single time. Why do I want to negotiate with a God who's already looking out for my best interest? Whose every single decision that related to me was always for my good? Why would I want to negotiate my will and my purposes and my desires? Well, that's the old flesh. That is, that's the old selfish streak within us that regardless of who He is and the fact that we know who He is, we still want to barter with Him. And so when we say unconditional surrender, that means I don't draw any lines and say, God, I'm willing to do thus and so up to this point, but I'll just not cross that line. Lord, I'm willing to do thus and so if you'll do this. No, unconditional surrender says, I lay it all down. God, if you don't ever do anything, I'm willing to be obedient. I surrender it all to you. I relinquish control of my life. Now listen to me carefully. And we men are far, far worse at this than the women. The last thing any man wants to do is give up control. We don't want to give up control. We don't want to give up control in our family. We don't want to give up control where we work. We just don't want to give up control. We like a little bit of control. But the unconditional surrender of a person to Jesus Christ means I am willing, I choose by an act of my will to give up control. How much control? 90%? 100% control, which makes me absolutely, totally, completely available to the will of God, whatever, whenever, and wherever. That's what obedience is all about. And if you'll think about in the scriptures, why in the world, what would be God's purpose for requiring us to give up absolute control and total surrender? What would be his purpose? Well, first of all, he's looking after our best interest. Secondly, he wants to use you. And you see, there's so many people who go to church who say, well, you know, God can use him, he can use her, but how in the world could God use me? Why don't you find out? Listen, as long as you sit or as long as you ask yourself the question, how could God ever use me? Stop asking him how and give him the privilege of doing it. And one of the reasons he requires absolute and total unconditional surrender is because he wants to use us his way. He wants to accomplish his purpose. He wants to glorify himself. He wants to make a contribution to his whole body through you. God's great purpose for requiring absolute and total unconditional surrender, his purposes are far higher than my purposes for wanting my way. So when we think about the whole idea of an unconditional surrender to him, you'll notice in this passage what happened. That they talked about it, and so Ahab said in verse 4, it is according to your word, my lord, O king. I am yours and all that I have. Now listen to this. Listen to what Ben-Hadad asked for. He says, I want your silver and your gold. He says, I want your most beautiful wives. I don't want those gals who may be second, third down the road. He says, I want the most beautiful women you have. And besides that, I want your children. Now watch this. Did he not hit Ahab right where Ahab's most precious possessions gripped him most? I want your silver and your gold. That's all your financial security. Then I want your wives and your children. He had nothing left. What did he have left? When his family was gone and his physical material security was gone, he had nothing left. Is it any wonder that he said to the messengers of Ben-Hadad, you go tell him, it's all his. Then when he got together with his elders, the scripture says, they made another decision. Look if you will, because this is the kind of decision a lot of us have made in life at times. Look in verse 9. So he said to the messengers of Ben-Hadad, tell my lord the king, all that you sent for to your servant at the first I will do, but this thing I cannot do. I wonder how many of us have ever said that to the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, I'm willing to give up my job. Lord, I'm willing to make less money. But God, to preach the gospel, no way. To go to the mission field, I just can't do it. Lord, I cannot afford to tithe. Can you imagine telling God you can't afford to obey him? It is amazing how we rationalize. And we listen, by the time we get through coloring it up and painting it up, it looks so good, you think it convinced God. It doesn't convince him. Listen, disobedience never persuades God. And I can never accomplish the will of God by being disobedient to him. And he will never require of me an act of disobedience in order to accomplish his will. And there are many people who genuinely think, I'm surrendered. Whatever you want, God. And as long as God's not dealing with some issue, it's real easy to say, I'm totally surrendered. But when I'm willing for God to really search my heart, and he brings up something, then the question is, am I unconditionally surrendered, or am I holding on to some things that I want in life? So let's look at this just for a moment. This is a personal requirement. I can't be saved for my wife and my children, and they can't be saved for me. I can't even unconditionally surrender myself in their behalf, though that surrender would affect them. Unconditional surrender is the requirement of God for every single follower of Christ. When he said to those apostles, he said, follow me and I'll make you fishers of men. Finally, to become a follower of Jesus, they had to lay down the nets. And the Bible says to lay down the nets, got out of the boat and walked away and left them. Here's what we want to do. We say, Lord Jesus, you got me. Where do you want me to go? As long as I can hold on to home base. Unconditional surrender says, I give up all control. I surrender all my rights. I recognize that Jesus Christ has the right, the position, the sovereign power to require of me anything he chooses, and it's all right. But here's the problem. This is where the rub comes, because sometimes when we respond, we're sort of like old Ben Hadad, and sometimes we say it with our lips, but we don't mean it, and so we begin to protest. And there's some reasons that we really don't want to unconditionally surrender. Number one is fear. And here's how Satan works on us. Oh, if I were to offer unconditional surrender, what in the world would you make me do? And here's what Satan does. Satan says, if you surrender yourself unconditionally to him, I'll tell you what he's going to do. If you're single, he's going to send you to the jungle to be a missionary, and you'll never be married. He says to a person of wealth, you surrender everything to Jesus Christ, and he's going to wipe you out financially. And so on and on and on it goes of Satan's lies. The only problem is we believe them. And we deliberately, willfully disobey God and rationalize it on the basis, well, you know, nobody's perfect and everybody has a little something. And then here's what we do. Now, not only do we rationalize it, but we go over here and in the area that, 95% totally surrendered. To make up for the other 5%, we begin to get busy for God. We're willing to teach, we're willing to sing in the choir, we're willing to do this, we're willing to preach, you name it. We'll do anything in order to hold on to 5%. We'll be good, God. Oh, listen, Lord, I'm going to be better than I've ever been, Lord. I'm going to church 3 times every week. I'm going to tithe my income. God, I'll teach Sunday school, sing in the choir, usher, you name it. But God, I can't give up this relationship. That's not unconditional surrender. Do you realize that you can't ever do enough work to be fully, totally, unconditionally surrendered to God? It has nothing to do with work. It has to do with my attitude and my spirit. Unconditional surrender leaves me no control. Now, let's face it. One of the reasons we fear is because it is a fearful thing to give up control. It's fearful to say, you mean, God, I can't call any of the plays? No plays. Lord, you mean none. Unconditional surrender means I transfer possession of spirit, soul, and body to Christ, and I don't have any say-so in it. Now, it's not acquiescence to everything coming and going. I'm going to explain that. But first of all, it is fear of what God may require. But secondly, it's fear of failure. Oh, but if I would unconditionally surrender my life to Christ, then suppose I fail. Join the club. We all have failed at times. The third thing we are afraid of, we're afraid of criticism. Because we don't know exactly what unconditional surrender may require of us, we fear what other people think and what they say. Now think about this. You and I know this is absolutely ridiculous, but we do it. We had rather have the approval of our friends, some of whom are probably not very good friends anyway. We had rather have the approval of our friends than the approval of God. Now, we don't verbalize that. That's really what we say. Oh, Lord, I want to please you above everybody. The truth is we want to please them. So we are afraid of what other people will think. So number one, one of the primary reasons that we protest unconditional surrender is that we're afraid. A second reason is that we're just plumb selfish. We're just selfish. We want our way. God, you can have 95% of it, but God, after all, listen, I am human. He knows all about it. Part of the problem is that we're selfish. We like sort of having our way. We like our plans and our dreams and our schedule, and we like our things. Another problem is just plain old pride. Just pride. Now, Lord, I know exactly what you're asking me to do. I believe you. That's absolutely right. But now, Lord, I think the timing could be a little bit better if it were done over here and in this way. And what we're saying is we really believe somehow we act as if we know better for ourselves than God does. We know in our heart that we don't have the wisdom God has. Whatever God tells us to do is for our own good, no exception. But you see, If I'm afraid and I'm selfish and I have a streak of pride in me that I just somehow, I really think that there's some things I know a little bit better about, then I'm not going to be fully surrendered. And the fourth thing is just pure rebellion. And ultimately, that's what it is. When I know that God says, lay it down, I say, God, here's 99% of it, and I know you want that, there it is, and I'm going to get over here, I'm going to work extra hard, and what I'm going to try to do is to atone for what I didn't give him. Has God already brought something to your mind, even early in this message, and you're sitting there thinking, oh my goodness, here we go again. It's so like the windshield wipers. I don't care what you do, man. They just keep flopping back and forth. You just can't get away. If it's pouring down rain, they just keep coming back and forth. And every time you get on to pray, here it comes. And it may not be anything particular bad. Listen, God doesn't just go after evil wickedness. He goes after anything that will hinder his best in your life and my life. He's coming after it. The unconditional surrender says, no matter what I want, God, it's yours. I agree that's painful sometimes, very painful. I can think in my own life of three of the most difficult times that I had to face up to something in my life that I didn't particularly want to face up to. I didn't want to surrender. I didn't want to yield. I did just what I have said other people do. Man, I'd work three times as hard over here to get God to forget this over here. But he'd never forget it. I remember on one occasion, one night, I started praying about 11 o'clock in the evening, and I knew what was coming. And you know, it's you can see it coming down the track. Here it comes, the Holy Spirit. I mean, it's like a locomotive. You know you've got to deal with it, and you don't want to deal with it. And you try not to deal with it, and you explain it away, and you rationalize, and you get your scripture, and you do all these things trying to escape. It just keeps coming. It's like the waves. You stand on the seashore all you want to and say, stop, 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 stop. They're coming anyway. When God comes after something in our life, he's coming after it. And I remember I prayed from about 11 o'clock till about 2-something in the morning. It took me 3 hours to finally say, and I remember then, I didn't like it. I was weeping, crying out to God. I didn't like it. I didn't want to do it. I didn't agree with it. I knew it was right, but I still didn't want to do it. And finally I said, okay. You said, well, didn't you feel better? No, I felt worse. Because listen, making an unconditional surrender of your life to Jesus Christ doesn't mean that you're going to get all bubbly inside and you're going to feel absolutely fantastic and you're going to feel free and everything's going to get absolutely wonderful. No, I'm going to tell you, that was such a dramatic moment in my life. For about 5 days, I was in a state of shock, trying to think, now, how am I going to operate, Lord, like this? What am I to do now? It took me about 5 days to settle down and realize that God had everything under control. I remember when I came to Atlanta, that's one time in my life that I rebelled against God. I gave him 1,000 reasons why I didn't want to come, why I shouldn't come, why I couldn't come. Didn't want to go any further north than the state line of Florida. So I didn't want to come. And I gave him a lot of reasons for not doing so. Some of them were theological. Boy, that was impressive. You know what? He ignored every single excuse I gave him. And to show you how absolutely committed I was all the way up the road, my kids will tell you, I griped and complained all the way from Bartow, Florida to Atlanta, Georgia. Oh, I surrendered. Not really. I gave in. But unconditional surrender? Mm-mm. And the reason I know I didn't unconditionally surrender, I conditionally surrendered. Now, God, I'm going to do it, but I don't like it. And if I had unconditionally surrendered, my attitude would not have been what it was when I first got here. You see, if I unconditionally surrender, I'm going to lay it down. And it may hurt, and it may be painful, and I may have to give up, walk away from something, somebody, some experience, some wonderful privilege. If God says walk away, you have to walk away. If God says lay it down, you have to lay it down. If God says break it off, then you have to break it off. And here's what will happen. Listen carefully. Until you do, you will quarrel with God continuously. You will quarrel with him verbally in your prayers. and you'll quarrel with him on the inside, down on your insides. You'll be quarreling with God. And that's what creates ulcers and a whole lot of other things. Quarreling with God on the inside that you don't even verbalize. I'm not going to tell you it's easy to make a full surrender of your life to him, to tell him, Lord, whatever you want is what I want. It's painful. It's difficult. It's hard sometimes. And even after you do it, it's difficult and painful. And sometimes it demands a sacrifice to unconditionally tell him, unconditionally just give it all to him. Because we naturally have our wills and our wants and our desires and our plans. There's nothing wrong with that, as long as they fit into God's will and God's plan, which is always best. But there'll be times when he will require of us something that we do not want to give up. Now, I want you to think about this before we talk about how to do it. I want you to think about a fourfold promise that belongs to every single one of us. And please listen carefully. And please, my friend, be honest with yourself for just a few moments. Just be honest for a few moments. It'll be a little tough. But be honest, because I don't know what it is that God's put his finger on in your life and he's waiting for you to unconditionally surrender, but you've not done it yet. And you've explained it away, and you're sitting here, or you may be listening, and you already know what it is. For example, you may have left your wife, and God says, go back to your wife. So, oh, God, I'll do anything in the world you want me to do, but I can't handle that. And God says, yes, you can. You know what, every time I've ever told God I couldn't do something, that's what I hear. Yes, you can. Yes, you can. And sure enough, you know what I discovered? Yes, I could. Every single time. Anything God tells us to do, yes, we can. I don't know what it is that God's put his finger on, but I do know this. Yes, you can. Now listen carefully, because here's what I want you to weigh something. I want you to think for just a moment. Think about what you've been thinking about, and let's put that in this hand. Whatever the 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 10, or whatever it might be, the things God has brought to your mind that you really have never really truly yielded to him. You still have a grip on it. In other words, you're still sort of having your way. You're having to work at having your way, but you're still having your way, and you're having to reason and rationalize and pray over it often, but you're still having your way about it. That's in this hand. Let's put in this hand. Here's what you have to balance that off with. Listen to how Paul said it. He said in Romans chapter 12, I beseech you, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto him. Now, before we load up this hand, let's think about this. When a person made a sacrifice in the Old Testament, let's say that I was confessing my sins and I bring my spotless, unblemished lamb to the priest, and we put it on the altar and put my hand on it, and he cuts his throat, drains the blood, and finally consumes it in flames. Once I lay my sacrifice on the altar, I have no control. I've delivered it to the priest. He has absolute control, and the flames are going to consume it. Now, you know what God is requiring of you and me? You see, here's how we want to escape. We say, well, Lord, I just lay it on the altar, Jesus. God, I just put it on the altar. Lord, put it on the altar. You know what God wants? Here's what he wants. He wants you and me to get on the altar and say, Lord, here am I. That's what God wants. Listen, I can give him a whole lot of things. But until I get on the altar, I'm still in control. Now listen, here's what you and I are forfeiting with our little desires over here and our little plans and what we are going to do, none of which is right, none of which is the best, or God wouldn't be dealing with us about it. Here's what we do. With our little thing over here that we're not willing to give up, here's what we're willing to sacrifice. Because here's what God offers. When a person makes an unconditional surrender of their life and all that relates to them to Jesus Christ, no restrictions, draw no lines, no bargaining, no arguments, total surrender, here's what happens. When a person does that, They position themselves for God's maximum blessing. That is, because you have totally surrendered yourself to Him, then He can bless you any way He wants to and as much as He wants to. And there's nothing to keep Him from blessing you. Maximum blessing. The second thing that's in that hand is maximum usefulness. When you are totally, unconditionally surrendered to Christ, there's nothing in your life that keeps you from being used to the maximum of your potential. The third thing that's in that hand is maximum intimate fellowship. When you are unconditionally surrendered to Jesus Christ, there's nothing in your life to keep you from being intimately to the maximum of your potential being related to Jesus Christ. Does that sound pretty good so far? Maximum blessing, maximum usefulness before God, maximum intimate fellowship with Him, and the fourth thing in that hand is maximum power of the Holy Spirit. That is because there's nothing to obstruct the flow of the Spirit of God in your life. The Holy Spirit will flow through your life and work in your life and make an impact through your life that will never be able to happen as long as there is an area of rebellion. Now look at this. Look over here, this puny little thing you've been holding on to. It may be that you have it, that you won't tithe, not that you can't, won't. We need to get those words right. Can't, won't. There are a lot of things I say I can't. The truth is I won't. Let me ask you a question. Are you carrying on a relationship that's putting static in your relationship to Christ? And every time you get down to pray, you know it's not right? Are you spending God's money on something that brings you some form of pleasure, security, when you know it belongs to God? Are you staying in a job that you have because you want the security of it rather than doing what God wants you to do? Are you telling God week after week after week when you've visited this church for 2 or 3 years and you haven't joined yet, and every single Sunday the invitation comes and you say, well, I'm going to, but not now, God. And God says, this morning, Lord, I'm coming. If you don't do what God says do when God says do, it is an act of rebellion. It doesn't make any difference how we color it up. It's rebellion. You mean to tell me? Well, now, when I was saved, I know I was saved, but I've not been baptized, and I just don't think you have to be baptized to go to heaven. Right? But you have to be baptized to be obedient to God, and you have to be baptized to be unconditionally surrendered to God. Now, listen, or He would not have said, listen, Jesus was baptized, and in the Great Commission He said, we're to baptize. Who of we are exceptions to the call of God to give public testimony that we have died to our old way, have been buried in Christ, and risen to walk in newness of life? Man, you can color it up and you can say, I'm afraid of the water. We'll get you over that. Somebody says, well, it's not on my schedule. You better get it on there. You can give 1,000 reasons for not obeying God. Not a single one of them is acceptable in the eyes of God. And guess what I want you to see? A lot of praying that goes on never even gets as high as the ceiling in this sanctuary. You say, oh, God answers my prayers. You mean God answers your prayers? And you're over here living in rebellion here, indifference here, excusing here, counterfeiting here, disobeying God here. And you think God's answering your prayers? No, He's not. You say, look at all the good things that have happened to me. Do you know why? Read Romans chapter 2. He says, know you not that the goodness of God is for the purpose of leading you to repent of your sins and to get right with God. Listen, one of the expressions of the grace of God is His goodness in order to get our attention, to get us to get right with Him. You cannot live in sophisticated, rationalized, acceptable rebellion toward God and have answered prayer. And this is the reason so many people are having such a difficult time in so many areas of their life. And they wonder, well, God, what in the world's happening? I'll tell you what's happening. Let's go back. In this hand is maximum blessing. But you've said, no, I don't want maximum blessing. I want this. In this hand is maximum usefulness. I don't want maximum usefulness. I prefer this. In this hand is maximum intimate fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ. I don't want that. I want this relationship. In this hand is the maximum power of the Holy Spirit. I don't want that. I'm going to do it in my energy. Nobody in their right mind, right spiritual mind, is going to make that kind of a choice. But we do it. Listen, listen to me carefully. God knows I love you. Do you know what it's costing the kingdom of God for folks like us to live with a conditioned, restricted commitment to Jesus Christ? It is costing millions of souls. It is costing the kingdom of God billions and billions and billions of dollars that could be used in ministry. It is costing people not to be taught, not to be trained, because too many of God's people had rather sit and explain it away and draw a line and say, this is all I'm going to do. Listen, you cannot deliberately, willfully disobey God over here in one area without it becoming two, without it spilling over into three, and over into four, and over into five. And that's why it is dangerous to come to church and listen to the truth and willfully, deliberately rationalize your disobedience and walk away. That, listen, that is dangerous, because what happens is any area that I have a deliberate, willful area of disobedience is going to multiply unless I deal with it. You know what God's looking for? Here's what He's looking for. When He names it, Lord, I surrender. Now, I don't know about you, but there have been some times when I was a little late surrendering and the pressure got so great, I wanted to hold up a bed sheet and say, God, don't miss it. Don't miss it. But just that's because I was unwilling to be obedient to Him when He first brought it up. And God knows how to put the pressure on us. Now, how do you make full surrender? Now, listen, this is so simple. Before I tell you how, let me just say this. You know that that's a pen. My daughter gave me that nice pen about two Christmases ago. And the reason she gave it to me is because she knew that I needed one to write. So this pen writes. That's what it's for. So suppose this pen said, I'm willing to look good, but I'm not willing to write. I'll feel good. I fit your hand well. I'll look good. I'll remain full of ink, but I'm not going to write. You know what I do with this pen? After a while, I just go, whoosh. Except that it has personal value because of who gave it to me. But if it were just a pen, I'd throw it in the garbage. Because that's what you do. I'll give you an example. When you buy a little cheap plastic pen, I dare not name any of them, but when you buy a little cheap plastic pen, and finally, it's all written out. What do? You toss it in the trash. Why? Because it ceased doing the thing for which it was made. Now, let me ask you a question. Now, listen to me carefully. God knows I want you to get this. Do you realize how patient God has been with all of us all these years, that we have not done what He created us for? And that's to serve Him, and to live for Him, and to honor Him, and to glorify Him by the life that we've lived. You toss plastic pens in the garbage can. God in His grace waits. The only difference is this. There's going to come a time when time runs out, waiting's over. And some of you are going to live your life. Years and years and years and years of your life are going to go by, and the very thing God created you for, you will never do. Before I tell you how, one last time. Are you willing to give up maximum blessing, maximum usefulness, maximum intimacy, and maximum power? That's your choice. Now, how do I make an unconditional surrender? First of all, number one, I recognize that God has the right to require that of me. No more arguments. Secondly, I make a deliberate, willful decision and say to him, however you want to say it, Lord Jesus, I surrender all control of my life to you, body, soul, and spirit, and everything that relates to me, in order that you may have your way in my life with no exceptions, no conditions, no restrictions, period. No bargaining. The third thing that I do is that I cease all quarreling with God. We quarrel about what we don't want to yield. All the quarreling's over. No more arguments with God. Yes, Lord. Yes. I cease all quarreling. All the quarreling's over. No bargaining, no quarreling. The next thing I do is to be willing to receive what he wants to give me. Now look at this. Surrender, unconditional surrender, isn't just giving up. It is being willing to receive everything he wants me to have. And for some of you, that may be a husband or a wife. Not your present choice, but his better choice. It's coming, don't worry. It may be that he wants to bless you financially. Are you willing to receive that? It may be a wonderful privilege that he wants to grant to you. Are you willing to receive that? It may be a position of authority that will demand of you and require discipline of you in order to accomplish it. Are you willing to receive that? Now listen to this one. It may be that he wants to give you love. He wants you to experience love. He wants you to feel love. He wants you to know love. Are you willing to receive that? You say, what's that got to do with unconditional surrender? I'll tell you exactly what it has to do with it. Until I am willing to deal with old, dirty, nasty, sinful, selfish self, I cannot love, nor feel, nor experience true, genuine, free, flowing love. And the reason some people can't love, they can't receive it. Because they got so much garbage in their life, and they're holding on to garbage, and missing the blessing and the intimacy and the power and the usefulness over here. You see, if I really want to be able to love, develop my intimacy with Jesus Christ, and it enables me and increases my capacity to love. But I may have to give up, surrender, choose death to some attitudes, anger, bitterness, resentment, hostilities that I've hung on to over here because I've been mistreated in the past. Am I willing to give up the ugly, awful, painful, agonizing feelings of anger and hostility in order to receive God's wonderful, indescribable love? I must be willing to receive what he has for me, the fullness of the Spirit. Next, I must be willing to accept my unconditional surrender by faith. Lord, I choose to do it as an act of my will. I thank you that it's done. No feelings. No feelings are guaranteed. You may be joyful or you may feel pain. Forget the feelings. All of those things are essential if I am to be truly, totally surrendered. And then the last thing is I will do these in absolute dependence upon the Holy Spirit because I cannot do it myself. Friend, there'll be some things that you may have to deal with that only by the power of the Holy Spirit can you deal with them. Now, let me remind you of two things quickly. Number one, while there is an initial, absolute, unconditional surrender of your life to Jesus Christ, at some point in your life where you say, Lord, this is it, there will be times throughout your life where you will again have to unconditionally surrender something that comes up in your life. But there's something about that first time that you really take in all of life and say, all right, Lord, it's all yours. As I look back in my own life, there have been many times when I've had to deal with this or that or the other over here. But none of those have been like the first time when I said, Lord, here is my life, unconditional, whatever you want, wherever you want it, however you want it. I don't have any idea, but here I am. And then what happens? Day by day, we live in that surrender. That's why he says in 1 John 1:7, not that we are perfect. We will sin against him at times, and there will be times when we'll be hit on the blind side by the devil, and we'll want what we want until the Spirit of God says, but that's not what you can have. This is better. That's why he says, if we walk in the light as he is in the light, the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, is continuously cleansing us from all sin and making it possible for us to live unconditionally surrendered to him. It is that simple, but not that simple, because sometimes it can be very painful. Now let me ask you this one question, it's all over. I know that you already know what it is that he wants to deal with. It may be something very, very small. And remember this, if you think about what you're holding on to, first of all, it's not eternal. Not eternal. Secondly, you could lose it in a split second. I don't care what it is. So it's not permanent. It's not eternal. It's not even for certain. You can't really be sure about it. Are you willing to hold on to that and forsake maximum blessing, maximum usefulness, maximum intimacy, and maximum power from God? For me, no way would I hold on to that when I can have God's very, very, very best. Father, we love you and praise you. We thank you for patience. My, 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 how patient you are with us. And sometimes we get so blind and so foggy in our thinking. It's the grasp. What has no permanent value? What has no eternal value? What is so uncertain and so materialistic and so unfulfilling? We ask you, oh dear Father, would you grant courage today? Would you just grant the courage necessary for those who really and truly want to make a clean break? Who are willing to say, who want to say, Lord, I lay it all down. Lord, I pray for those who are thinking, Lord, I'm not willing, but I want to be willing. Lord, would you just help them to see that if they're willing to pray, Lord, make me willing to be willing. Just change my willingness so that my will be to will unconditional surrender. And Lord, you'll answer that prayer. And Father, you know who's listening? You're just waiting to bless them. You're just waiting to give them your best. But you can't. Until they throw down their arms, stop the quarrel, give up the fight, throw up the white flag, get on their knees, and unconditionally surrender. Pray for that one who needs to be saved, that you'll help him and help her to understand. It's an act of rebellion to reject Christ. It's the forfeiture of all those things we've mentioned. And then, Lord, you know how many people have those private areas of their life they have to deal with and need to deal with. How many people have those areas of life that no one knows but just they themselves? But you've had your finger on it. You put a circle around it. It's like a target. And you've fired away the missiles of the Holy Spirit's conviction time after time and hit the bullseye every time. They know what it is. Oh, God, when I think of the potential and I think about the waste, let your grace be upon this fellowship and upon every single listener, and grant all of us enough wisdom and courage to do the right thing, to say, yes, Lord, unconditionally I surrender. In Jesus' name, amen.